But you're going to need to speak up if you could, counsel. At least on my end, you're a little bit faint.
May it please the court. My name is Scott Sugarman. I'm the attorney for Mr. Collins. I would reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal. This is an odd case in which the district court, in ruling on the defendant's motion to suppress evidence where there was a warrantless search and arrest, felt bound by circuit precedent that it acknowledged was old and did not take into account changes in what was illegal or not illegal in under California law, and therefore ignored those statutes, and concluded that the simple possession of marijuana in the car permitted the search of the car and the arrest of Mr. Collins. Court acknowledged there was less than 1 ounce of marijuana seen and acknowledged in its decision that Mr. Collins said at least 5 times in the first couple minutes of being detained, I have a valid medical marijuana card. I smoke marijuana.
Counsel, I have, before you go farther, I have 2 questions.
Of course, Your Honor.
Right from the get-go, they could also see a scale. Is that right?
That is correct. They say they saw that within the first minute or so. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And then as far as the, and then I'll get out of your way, forgive me, but as far as your client saying that he had the medical marijuana card, informing him of that, is it uncontested that at least one of those notifications came prior to his arrest?
Yes. According to the timing detailed in the district court's opinion and in the brief filed, the first one was said 25 seconds into the contact, and he kept repeating it.
Thank you.
So the problem is, and are two things. So first, there's a statute in California, which was the centerpiece of the appellate brief, section 11362.71, subdivision E, that is explicit that the authorities have no power to arrest someone who has a valid card and a lawful amount of marijuana. But the district court felt it couldn't attend to that because of a series of decisions from the circuit beginning in the 1970s and 1980s when any quantity of marijuana was unlawful. Now, as the court may recall, since then, 3 months ago, this circuit in the U.S. versus Martinez case, that those cases are no longer binding because there have been a change in the law.
What about the scale?
If the question is the district court, which was making factual findings about the challenge, the court is correct. The government argued below that they arrested Mr. Collins for possession for sale. The district court did not credit that allegation for a number of reasons, I believe, but it said quite explicitly in its decision that it was only ruling on the fact that there was simple possession of marijuana. If the court looks at pages 10 and 11 of the district court's decision, Judge Ilston, and again on page 6 at footnote 5, she talks about the fact, I'm only basically ruling on simple possession is enough to arrest him. In Martinez 3 months ago, a different panel of this court said those cases are no longer controlling in light of legislative changes. So now you have a statute, and I think it's very telling for the court, the government did not once mention section 11362.71D in its reply brief. So it was the centerpiece of my brief, and I think the reason they didn't is in fact that it's so clear that they had no authority to arrest. Essentially, California law changed when that was enacted, which was 10 years before Mr. Collins was detained and arrested, that said this is not an arrestable offense. And that's what in fact is controlling. And that's confirmed by the Court of Appeals decision in Kirby, which says even Maurer, which is the California Supreme Court decision after the Compassionate Use Act, does not apply to this 2003 statute. So I submit to you that the court, the district court, felt compelled to follow cases that in fact should not apply logically because they applied when the law was different. And in fact has since been rejected by the circuit in the Martinez case before the court. So it seems to me that there are three grounds that could have been for arresting Mr. Collins. A, he possessed marijuana for sale. The district court was not persuaded based on the facts. The court didn't buy the fact that he was out traveling at some high traffic area. He was driving at noon on a busy street a block from the police station lawfully. He didn't try and hide the marijuana. He didn't try and run from the police. I think the court didn't credit it. I think the court also didn't credit the police officers who got 4 narcotics detectives who said they were out there looking for serious violent crime who stopped a man for tinted windows. Whether she concluded it was a profile stop or not doesn't bar the stop, but it certainly affects her judgment about how much to credit these officers. So she concluded, I'm not convinced by possession of for sale. I'm not convinced by child endangerment. there was not probable cause to arrest for either offense, but following these earlier Ninth Circuit decisions, which have come up forward, I have no choice unless the Ninth Circuit tells me otherwise. Now, in fact, the Ninth Circuit has said that. So I submit to you that the two basis for finding this warrantless search was lawful have now been undermined by this court's subsequent decision. So
are you asking us to ignore the officer's observation of the scale?
No, sir. What I'm saying is you have a series of facts. You correctly say the totality of the circumstance. You have less than an ounce of marijuana. You have a scale moved somewhat discreet from the marijuana itself. You have no small baggies of any kind. You have no marijuana on the scale. You have nothing about his behavior showing possession for sale. He is driving lawfully in the middle of the day. The district court could rightly say, I'm not persuaded that this is enough for possession for sale. He has to credit the officers or not. They submitted declarations. She had seen the videotapes from the officers, their body-worn cameras, what they showed. He could decide there's not enough here for probable cause based on the facts that I found. He also similarly found there was not enough probable cause to arrest for placing the child in a substantial risk of death or great bodily injury. So what she's saying is, okay, but the marijuana is there. Now, did they have probable cause to arrest for possession? Based on these earlier cases, she says, yes, I do. I'm bound by that, even though the California law has changed. California basically used to have all marijuana illegal, and it has carved out its 1996 section where it's not illegal. And this is one of them. If you have a valid ID card, and he said right up front, this is not a question of the officer having to go search for it. He said, I've got it right here in my pocket, five times. It was not disputed that he said it. It was not disputed that he had it, because the officers took control of him. So based on just the marijuana and the law in California, which says, no, you may not even arrest for this crime, they had no Fourth Amendment right to arrest him for the marijuana.
And so marijuana was he entitled to be in possession of in conjunction with the card?
At that time, the law said 8 ounces of marijuana. That statute, the Supreme Court subsequently concluded that 8 ounces should not limit what someone could have, because under the initiative passed in 1996, a person with a card could have any amount that would be relevant to them. So having less than 1 ounce, which is the case here, well within the sort of safety zone that an individual could have.
So what I'm trying to get at is, you keep saying 1 ounce, and of course at the time the officers didn't know exactly what he had, but I guess your position is that they had an ounce that from their visible observation, they should have known was well below the limit, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that a fair summation?
Not quite, Your Honor. First of all, it is in one package. As the court has seen many cases where, say, marijuana or some other drug is in 20 little packages, which suggests possession for sale. This is one
Counsel, forgive me. I'm having trouble hearing you. So,
Holly, let me bring my computer a little closer. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just don't want to miss your argument. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. All of the marijuana here was in one package. There were no smaller baggies, and an officer has to make reasonable assessment. Although they keep saying this is a large bag, everyone agreed it was under 1 ounce, 23 and something grams.
Well, wait a minute. When you say everyone agreed, at what point was that determined? That's what I'm trying to get at.
I'm sorry. So the officers would have seen a bag of marijuana that was certainly not a large bag. The district court could see it. In other words, unlike this court here, she had images of it and could conclude, look, this doesn't look to be more than an ounce, which is what, in fact, testing established.
Okay, so I think my question about a minute ago, the answer to it was probably yes. My understanding, I'm not trying to be tricky, maybe I didn't phrase it very well, but my understanding is your position is they could see right away in plain view an amount of marijuana. They didn't know if it was an ounce or not. That surely no one was weighing it, but that they, from their observation, they should have been able to tell that it was an amount that was well below what he could lawfully possess with his card. Is that it?
Right. In the 2003 statute.
Counsel, I would take yes if the answer is yes.
Yes. Okay. They did not weigh it, and there was no other indication of possession per se.
Okay. Thank you.
I would reserve what time I have left with the court's permission, although, of course, I'll answer any questions the court has.
Are there any further questions from the panel? No. Counsel, when you come back, you can plan for rebuttal. We'll put two minutes on the clock. I took you quite a field with my question. I think I didn't ask it well. Not at all. We'll hear from opposing counsel, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Kelly Volkar, and I'm here on behalf of the United States. This court should affirm all of Collins' convictions. The search of his vehicle was reasonable under the Fourth Amendment, and particularly this court is reviewing de novo the facts of this case and whether or not they may meet the probable cause standard. Four detectives with considerable experience had probable cause to search Collins' vehicle as soon as they saw a large bag of marijuana with unknown weight next to a gram scale in plain view inside Collins' car.
What do you mean by large bag? I have to ask, because those are the two things they could see. Some amount of marijuana and a scale. So what do you mean by that, please?
At trial, the drug expert testified that a typical use of marijuana is a half of a gram. And because—
No, counsel, I'm asking a different question. We know that. Can you give me the ER site for, I think there's a photo. What is it that the judge was looking, the district court was looking at as what the officers could observe? If you just give me that site, I'll get out of your way.
Yes, Your Honor. It is in my brief, and the photo is from the government's brief below. I will have to get that site for you. I don't.
Well, that's okay. I've got it. I can. That's fine. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
So in terms of what does a large bag mean, I think that we have to defer to the officer's inferences drawn at the scene, according to this court's and Supreme Court precedent. And these are officers who had more than a decade's worth of experience, several of those years in narcotics, and had made arrests for narcotics trafficking on more than two dozen occasions in that specific area. So these are officers who saw a bag that they describe as a large bag of marijuana, both in their declarations before the district court in support of the government's opposition to motion to suppress, and also in their police report. And we later determined at trial with the help of an expert that this is something close to 50 doses of marijuana with a street value of more than $200. So I think that in terms of what is a large bag of marijuana, this wasn't something that you could hold, pinch between two fingers. This was a bag that filled the ashtray, and really more than that, was a bag that filled the ashtray was immediately next to a gram scale, all within arm's reach of the driver of the vehicle, in this case, Collins, in an area known for drug trafficking. And in addition to that, although it doesn't go to the officer's reasonable belief that Collins was in the area to distribute marijuana, there was also a 5-year-old child on the front seat within arm's reach of the drug and the scale, and without proper restraints under California law. And so that's
Volker, the district court did. Oh, forgive me. Go ahead, Judge Gritzner.
Ms. Volker, may I ask you, what do we do with the officer's refusal to determine whether or not he in fact had a valid medical marijuana card? And would that confirmation not have necessarily taken this off into a completely different direction?
Thank you, Your Honor. In this particular case, whether or not Collins had a medical marijuana card is actually irrelevant. And the reason I say that is because a medical marijuana card is not a defense to the sale of marijuana under any version of the law, even under Prop 64, but even prior to Prop 64, which is the land that we're in, under the Medical Marijuana Program Act, the medical marijuana card allowed someone to possess or transport or cultivate a certain amount of marijuana. And these officers had a reasonable belief that Collins was selling marijuana, in which case—
Wait a minute, but the district court didn't credit that. The district court didn't rely on that possession with intent to sell.
Your Honor, the district court felt bound by this court's prior precedent, but the district court didn't the district court thought that it was a small amount of marijuana. But I would say that this court can confirm on any basis, and I would say that even if the amount is small after we know the weight of it, we should credit the officer's inferences drawn at the scene, and they thought it was
counsel, large. Now it's starting to sound like you want me to make a finding of fact. So can you back up? This is an important point, and I found this quite distracting throughout this case in the briefing about whether the government's position is that there was probable cause to arrest, possession for with intent to sell, because that's not the basis of the district court's opinion. I'm not sure what your argument is now. If you want me to credit the photo about the amount of marijuana, is that really your argument?
Your Honor, I actually think that between the officer's inferences drawn at the scene and then the binding precedent of this court, I do think that there was sufficient probable cause for the officers to search the car based on distribution of marijuana. And also, and if the court does not agree, then there was also, in the alternative, reason to arrest him for child endangerment, which then—
Okay, I'm not saying I disagree on this point about whether there was probable cause or not. What I'm trying to get at is, in order to make that determination, of course, we have to look at the totality of circumstances, and a really important circumstance is how much marijuana there— I would say maybe perhaps dispositive, because there's a scale next to it. And so whether that was a large amount of marijuana— you've used the word, you know, large bag, you've used that phrase, opposing counsel has a very different view. So what precisely is it you want us to do with this to decide that fact?
Yes, Your Honor. I guess I think that based on the totality of the circumstances, the amount of marijuana, without any qualifying word, and I'm only using large from the police officer's report, but if we take that word out, the amount of marijuana next to the scale, plus other factors that the officers had before them, I think would objectively lead to the conclusion that there was probable cause that he intended to sell the marijuana, and that allowed—
Any amount, if he had any amount of marijuana with the scale, is that the government's position?
No, Your Honor, because I could conceive of a situation where the amount of marijuana is so small that it wouldn't be reasonable for an officer to believe that he was selling, but I do not think that is the facts of this case.
Okay.
I think under the facts of this case, the officers were in, approached a vehicle that had dark tinted windows and an expired registration that was out of date by 6 years. They were in a high drug trafficking, high crime area. And then immediately when they asked Collins to roll down the windows because they were too dark to see through, they immediately see a bag of marijuana next to a scale and also a child in the front seat without proper restraints. And after they arrest Collins, which again was at least lawful based on the child endangerment, California Penal Code section 273A, then they find over $800 on his person and bundled in a specific way that further added to their probable cause that he was selling marijuana and did not merely possess it for personal use. Either of those two, immediately seeing the marijuana in the scale, or after they arrest Collins, finding the amount of money on his person was held, those would both get them to probable cause that he was selling marijuana, and therefore under the automobile search, they had probable cause to search for further contraband in the car. And the medical marijuana card is not a defense, even under California state law, to selling marijuana. And at one point, I wanted to respond to my colleague's point about the Martinez case, which is an unpublished case of this court. That was, of course, dealing with a post Proposition 64 case. And Proposition 64 did change, or it was a change in the law in California that doesn't apply to the facts of this case, because this case occurred almost 6 months before Proposition 64. So first of all, I would argue that the Martinez case, the unpublished case, is not necessarily as relevant to these facts. And contrary to that, this court in United States versus Johnson, in a published opinion, held based on a stop that happened in March 2016, shortly after the stop in this case, did rely on those 1970s cases, specifically Barron, and found that probable cause based on marijuana alone was sufficient to search the automobile. So I would hold that this court's binding precedent, as the district court felt bound by, has been upheld throughout the decades and continues to apply here. And even if the court wanted to move to state law, there's the People versus Waxler case cited throughout both of our briefs, which was controlling in California at the time of this stop. And that court held that medical marijuana card did not vitiate probable cause. And at best, any medical marijuana defense would be an affirmative defense that could be brought later on and does not stop officers from being able to arrest for, even in that case, it was talking about possession of marijuana. But here we have marijuana, or we have a reasonable belief that the marijuana was for sale. And with that, unless there are further questions from the court, If the panel has further questions, has no further questions, the United States respectfully requests that you affirm on all counts.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further from the panel?
No, thank you.
No. We'll hear from opposing counsel. Hear your rebuttal argument, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Let me focus on the questions you raised. The photograph shows a small sandwich bag size in the car, the kind of thing people buy 1 ounce or less of marijuana in. Since I was a student in college in the late 1960s, that's one of the most common ways people buy marijuana for sale.
I'm looking at the photo. It doesn't look like such a small amount to me. You know, just initially, and I'm not struck that that's a particularly small amount.
Right. The district court had a chance to look at that in detail. It made its findings. At that time, it was lawful for someone with a car to have up to 8 ounces, what the courts in California called a safe harbor. So if the California courts say you have a valid card, which Mr. Collins did, and you have up to 8 ounces or more, you cannot be arrested. I would remind the court, it's interesting that the government, again, doesn't even talk about the statute. The statute says, essentially, we're carving out a bigger area where the law is you cannot arrest someone, period.
Oh, wait a minute. The law is not that you can't arrest someone. The question we've got is whether or not all of the totality of circumstances adds up to probable cause, right?
But it has to be probable cause, Your Honor, of a crime. If it's no crime to have a valid card and up to 8 ounces.
I appreciate that, counsel. And what do you think is the, what is your strongest argument that this was lacking given all of the circumstances opposing counsel has ticked off?
Okay. If you're talking about possession for sale, Your Honor, or simple possession?
I'm talking about anything that would warrant his arrest.
As you noted, the district court judge rejected both possession for sale and the child endangerment for good reasons. Government specifically kept focusing on the fact that the officers themselves believed it. The judge did not have to believe them and did not do so. And rejecting those things, she made a factual finding. She was not crediting what they said. She didn't credit the fact it was a large quantity of marijuana. What she looked at is that this is what I've got, but I don't have it. I can't look at the California statute because these Ninth Circuit decisions from before the statute existed. Essentially, the crime has been redefined. Any marijuana is not a crime in California. So if it's not a crime, there's no contraband for him to arrest Mr. Collins for. So
counsel, under the way that... Counsel, you're suggesting that the trial court rejected possession for sale. As I read it, the trial court said, that's thin, but I've got enough on possession alone. Isn't that what really happened?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think it is stronger than that. She said, I have grave reservations about possession for sale, given, again, the totality of circumstances, including Mr. Collins saying to the officers, I smoke weed, I've got a card in my wallet, none of the other indicia that we see all the time for someone who is selling. And so I think that she was in a position to evaluate those facts and discount what a lot of the officers said for various reasons. Unless those are clearly erroneous, and Ms. Volker has not identified why they're clearly erroneous, she could make those calls. That's why she came down to simple possession and saying, gee, I feel bound by this Ninth Circuit precedent, which makes a logical argument that says, look, if the law has changed, then these cases ought not to continue to mine. And that's what Martinez, the three different colleagues from your bench had said. So I believe that given the way the district court ruled based on simple possession, and that in fact, that's not illegal under California law under these circumstances, they did not have probable cause to arrest Mr. Collins or to search his car because of what they saw was certainly not 8 ounces or more of marijuana. It was plainly smaller. They can characterize it what they want. They like to do that. It's like characterizing.
You're getting beyond my question now and you're over time. Right. So thank you.
Pardon me. I'm sorry, Your Honor. Thank you.
Anything further? I put 2 minutes on the clock. Counsel, could you just go ahead and wrap up your argument for us?
Yes. So I would believe that Judge Ilston correctly found there was not possession for sale here. He ruled on a different ground, not unlike what happened in Martinez, and that therefore, since those cases are no longer controlling, I believe correctly by that court, I think that the motion to suppress should have been granted, and therefore the court should reverse it. Ruling against. The only other thing I can say is that with regard to the rehab issue before the court and many of your colleagues here, there was a Rule 29
counsel,
motion made. Yes. I'll be quiet.
Now you're way over.
Thank you.
We'll leave it at that. Thank you. You're just raising an issue now that is new to this argument. So I'm gonna leave it at that. Please, we've read your briefing. And I'll thank both counsel for that argument. And we will take that case under advisement.